Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Watch Movies, a podcast where we watch movies and then talk about them. I'm your host, Elijah, and my good friend, Forrest, is here as always. How are you doing today, Forrest?
I am doing great. I am revved up, ready to go. One of these movies I adored, the other I despised.
Wow, that'll be interesting.
I'm just kidding. You're like, oh, crap.
I mean,
what is this?
I mostly just heard adored and was like, wow, he actually loved one finally. Well, today we're talking, continuing our Harry Potter series and talking about Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. That would be 5 and 6 for those of you keeping track. We're almost done. We've just got 2 parts of the last one left. So we'll do that in the future. It won't be on a normal schedule because Forrest is going away.
That's right.
Like a jerk. Right.
And you'll have to, well, I'm not getting married, so it's not like I have any choice.
It's okay though, because it gives me an opportunity to do an episode about Solo and how good it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh crap. I didn't think about that.
So that'll be fun.
Okay, just an announcement. When I get back, I will be rebuttaling everything Elijah says while I'm gone. If he talks about Solo and Speed Racer, I do apologize in advance.
You're in for the episode of a lifetime, because it'll be the best episode ever.
Best episode ever. Some say the greatest.
The greatest.
That's right. Just Elijah.
Okay, yeah, second segment today will be another Harry Potter quiz for Forrest. We like quizzes right now.
It's kind of our thing. It's kind of like the pumpkin spice latte of movie podcasts.
That was offensive to me.
Can't get enough of it. I don't actually like pumpkin spice latte, so I was just...
Then why would you ever use that analogy?
Because it's a very cultural thing, and once I say it, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
We're not white girls.
I was with you for the first half, and I was like, yep, no, I'm not a girl.
Yeah, we are both very white, though.
Some of us more than others.
I don't know, man. I think I win.
Yes, I was referring to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm transparent.
I work outside, so I'm not.
Yeah, You're more reasonably like you. White.
I'm a darker shade, I guess.
We gotta stop talking now.
Can I say that?
You're tanner.
I'm tanner.
A phrase.
That's right.
Okay.
But I do not live in a full house.
Yeah, you don't.
Hopefully it wasn't lost on you.
I got it.
I just refuse to acknowledge it. It was bad.
It was. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is...
Yeah.
The continuation of the Harry Potter series, the adaptation of the fifth book. It is the fifth movie. It stars all the usual suspects. No one major new other than Imelda Staunton as Dolores Umbridge, who we will certainly be getting to. Yes. And then Cho Chang, the character, is in it, and I'm blanking on the actress's name. I apologize. But it is about Harry returning to Hogwarts for his fifth year. We have a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, Professor Umbridge. Mm-hmm. And the kind of big deal here is that while he witnessed Voldemort's return, nobody believes him. He only has Dumbledore and his closest friends on his side, and even the Ministry is denying his return.
Speaking of Harry. Right? We're speaking of Harry?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ministry has denied Voldemort's return, and everyone is turning against him. On top of that, Harry is having these weird visions and dreams of this door, and general teenage hormones are happening as well. So,
yeah, there are a lot of that. It's like a mix of 13 Candles and a wizard movie. Another wizard. Pick any other wizard movie. I can't think of one.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings. That's number 5, and I think Okay, this one's a little tricky because if you look at it purely from an adaptation standpoint, it must have been extremely difficult since the book is almost 900 pages long. And they this is the shortest movie thus far in the series. It's 130 minutes-ish.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm actually like certain about that. Okay. It's the shortest one far. It's not the shortest in the whole series.
Yeah, I was thinking 3 or somewhere in there was around 2 hours 18, but you're the expert, so I won't argue.
Well, 130 minutes is 2 hours 10 minutes.
Yep.
So
that's good math.
Yeah, I math right there. So the adaptation must have been very tricky. This is also the first one with a different screenwriter from the normal screenwriter, and it's the, excuse me, it's the only one not by the original screenwriter for the others. I'm not remembering names. I'm sorry for that. But basically, number 5 cuts a lot out of the book. But I think it does so in an effective manner. And I think the results are arguably one of the best Harry Potter movies just from a cinematic movie standpoint. It is paced like lightning. It is fast, super fun. The action is mind-blowing in this one. By far the best action so far. And it is maybe my second or third favorite Harry Potter movie. It is excellent. Also, we will get to this later more because I have a lot to say, but the score in this movie is mind-blowing.
Yes, yeah. Is this still John Williams?
No. We have John Williams stopped after number 3.
Okay.
This is Nicholas Hooper.
Okay. I didn't even notice. So that's a good
sign. That's a high compliment.
Nick Hooper.
Yeah. So what did you think of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix?
Okay, first off, old JK should be writing her books longer so that every movie is this fast. Because unlike in the second film, where everything dragged on so long, I felt like we were finally getting somewhere, and it was really fast.
Yeah.
And it was great. I loved it.
I'm so glad, dude.
I love that we were moving so quickly.
Yes. It's good. Keep going. Yeah. Keep talking.
So Captain Fudge there at the Ministry of Magic is just the worst. Talk about a political hack, that guy.
You think he's the worst? We have like 2 more of the worsts to get through.
Okay, here's the thing. Umbridge is the worst. And Bellatrix Lestrange is weird.
True. She's also the worst because of what she does, though.
Is she the worst? Oh, yeah. She does do that thing.
We'll get to that thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
The hearing. Harry does magic to defend himself from freaking Dementors, which show up in like Private Drive or whatever, when he's out with Dudley after being bullied. And he defends himself with the Patronus charm, as you would. And he gets a letter from the ministry. He's like, you're expelled. And then he has to go to a hearing. And yeah, it's kind of a mess.
It is a mess because it's clearly an open and shut case, okay? 2 Dementors show up. He uses magic. And I mean, that's justified, right? It's got to be. But no.
Yeah.
And then old Captain Fudge up there. Laws are meant to be changed, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you little twit. I'm about to go up there and slap some sense into you. You're ridiculous. And then we have Umbridge up in the bleachers there complaining.
Yep.
Doing something I don't like. She's annoying. She's the physical manifestation of overly sweet. In a nasty way.
I was going to say she's the...
It rots your teeth.
I was going to say she's the physical manifestation of pure evil.
That too. Wrapped in a very, 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 very sicking, sickly sweet.
Yes. You know you have a good villain when most fans hate her more than Voldemort.
Well, I mean, Voldemort's awesome.
There you go.
Based off of how book 7 could go, I could definitely just switch sides and be on team Voldemort here, depending on which one, the place one character lands. I'm pretty sure he's going to stay good, but if he goes bad, I'm going with him, because
fair enough.
The best part of the films.
Oh yeah. But that's in 6.
I'm 100% confident he goes back to good. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
You really are. So we have the hearing, and Dumbledore saves Harry's butt, but refuses to talk to him. And that's kind of a running theme where it's not a choice. Harry is very isolated in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brings out kind of a lot of anger in him. And it's understandable, because he just witnessed the return of the evil wizard. He witnessed the murder of one of his friends.
Yeah.
And nobody believes him. And on top of that, nobody will talk to him.
You got the Ministry and the Daily Prophet calling him a liar.
Yep. Dumbledore won't even look at him.
Yeah.
His own friends in Gryffindor, like Seamus, don't believe him. He's alone with Harry and Hermione and just a few others.
And Luna.
Oh my gosh, we get to talk about Luna. She's my favorite.
What's her last name?
Lovegood.
Luna Lovegood. I'm pretty sure that's going to be on the quiz, so I'm asking all the questions I can. By the way, what's Hagrid's half-brother's name?
Grop. That's not on the quiz.
Luna Lovegood Grop. I don't believe you, so I'm just going to
rememberize
it.
Before we get to Luna, though,
yeah,
we visit number 12, Grimald Place, which is Sirius Black's childhood home.
Oh, that's right. Gary Oldman's in this one.
Yep, he is. And we get to meet the Order of the Phoenix, which is what is the Order of the Phoenix? What do you think of them?
That's a great question, and that is one question I walked away with. What is the Order of the Phoenix?
Straight up, think of it as the rebels of Harry Potter.
Okay. I can deal with that. I do have another question. I understand that Sirius Black is Harry's godfather, but the other guy, Lupus. I know it's Lupin. But the only way I can remember his name if I say Lupus. Okay. Well, he spent considerably more time with Lupin. Why is he so close to Sirius Black? And again, I understand he's his godfather, but he spent a lot more time with old Lupin there.
Yep. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It was just cut material from the book. There are many more scenes with Sirius in the books. Okay. He has like letter correspondences. He has fireplace meetings. The
fireside chats is what we like to call them.
Yeah. That's really good, actually.
A little FDR reference right there.
I got you. I understood that reference.
Hey.
There's much more development between Harry and Sirius in the book. Some of that content did have to get cut for time's sake.
That's right, because this book is almost 900 pages long.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's that reason. I still think they do a decent job of selling the relationship, especially with some of the conversations they have.
Oh, definitely. And it's Gary Oldman. I mean, I'd want to be friends with Gary Oldman. So
hey, who wouldn't, honestly? He's wearing two belts. You won't understand that reference.
No, not at all.
But some people will.
Yes, people have read the books.
No, it's from Friends.
Oh. Well, that's even worse.
Hmm.
The only good thing about Friends is Courtney Cox.
That's such a random thing to what? Okay.
I'm just kidding. I don't have any judgments against Friends.
Did you just say Courtney Cox because that's the only person you know from Friends?
No, there's also David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc and Jennifer Aniston and the other guy whose name is escaping me right now.
Cool. Back to Harry Potter. We meet the Order. They are actually on Harry's side, which is refreshing.
Yes.
Reunite with Harry and Ron and Hermione. And off to Hogwarts. And the Weasleys, all of them.
Who are the best?
The Weasleys rock.
The mother reminds me of someone I know, and she kind of reacts to every situation the same way this person would. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, Mrs. Weasley's amazing. She has the best moment in, well, not the best moment, but an amazing moment in movie 8. So
when she kills Voldemort.
You're right.
Plot twist.
How'd you know? Mrs. Weasley kills Voldemort.
I read the wiki.
So yeah, now we're off to Hogwarts. Okay.
Yes, we are. Okay.
And we meet Luna. And I need to know what you think of Luna, because if you don't like Luna, we might have to end the podcast right now.
Well, that really incentivizes me to dislike her. Luna's great. Love Luna.
Yes.
There's so much to like.
Yeah. She's so weird.
Love good. Luna, love good. Luna, love good. Yeah. Well, I mean, aren't all of us weird?
Exactly. She's like us. Normal.
She's Luna's... like you.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I was all
out. Okay. Yeah. Luna's great. She's a breath of fresh air, especially for this book, because she understands being isolated and mm-hmm. left alone. And Harry's experiencing it for the first time because his whole life he's been the boy who lived. And everyone sure. basically worships him. And now that's completely turned around. Family. Yeah.
Who continuously each film gets a little wider. That's...
yes. Fifth is the most egregious.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we just kind of move into Hogwarts life, which has Umbridge, who's the worst.
Yes.
And things start going insane. Umbridge starts taking over slowly. Eventually Dumbledore is sacked, and then he has I love when he escapes, like they try to take him to Azkaban. Mm-hmm. He escapes, and Kingsley, who's the black wizard there, part of the ministry, is like, you can't deny Dumbledore's got style. I love that moment.
Is he a member of the Order of the Phoenix?
He is.
That's right. Okay, but he's it's a secret order, isn't it?
Yes, very secret.
It's kind of like the opposite of the Death Eaters.
I mean, at this point in the movie, the Death Eaters are still pretty secret. But
yes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, it's Death Eaters versus Order, basically.
Yep. Yep, that's what I was asking. Good.
And we get Dumbledore's army, which mm-hmm. is Harry starting a resistance group, which I think is awesome.
In the Room of Necessity?
Nope.
Room of Availability.
The Room of Convenience?
Ah, that's right. Wait, is it? Or are you just...
No, it's the Room of Requirement.
Ah, Room of Requirement. I knew that. I'm going to write that down, though, just in case.
Yeah, go ahead. So, what did you think of the Dumbledore's army scenes?
Well, I thought the Room of Requirement was cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that was fun. I like that moment in the Shrieking Shack. Wow, I can't remember. I can't believe I remembered that. It is called the Shrieking Shack, right?
There's a thing called the Shrieking Shack. What moment are you talking about?
Well, they only see in the film where they're in the Shrieking Shack and they're having the little meeting and he convinces all his
That's not comrades. In the Shrieking Shack.
Yes, it is.
No, that's in. Ridiculous. That's at the Hogshead Bar in Hogsmeade.
Yeah, same difference. Hogshead Bar. Hogshead Bar. Hogsmeade. Hogshead Bar. Hang on. Just writing that one down.
Yeah, take your time.
Hogshead Bar in Hogsmeade?
Hogsmeade, you know this. They went there in number 3. Harry went with the invisibility cloak and took a lollipop from Neville. And then found out Sirius was his godfather by spying on McGonagall, Fudge, and some other people at the Three Broomsticks.
Good point. Oh, Three Broomsticks. All right. Yeah,
that's no, from number 3. You don't need to write that one down.
I'm just covering all my bases, kind of like when you write the distance of a mile on, you know, on your cheat sheet for every math test. If you're allowed a cheat sheet, it's, you know, it's kind of redundant. But
anyway, Dumbledore's army was fun.
Yes, no, I definitely agree. I like to see all of the different students coming in and out of the room and driving the stupid groundskeeper crazy and yes, driving the inquisitors. No, the inquisitors.
I think it's the Inquisition Squad or something.
Inquisition Squad. Yeah.
That might be wrong.
Yeah. Driving them crazy. Okay. Yep. I know it's not on the test. I don't need to write that down. Yeah. Driving them crazy. That's fun. I like to, like I said, I love seeing them go in and out. Though there is this constant state of apprehension on my behalf trying to, you know, knowing that they'll have to leave the room at some point and be like, are they going to be able to get out this time?
Yeah.
Lots of fun. And then I do things, like Harry teaching the students magic, and it kind of shows you where Harry is at. He definitely knows a good deal more than his fellow students, and it's more than just getting by on luck, as Hermione points out.
Yes. Which I think is a very important reminder for Harry as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And then things start going crazy. Some point, yes, somewhere in there, we meet Hagrid's half-brother, Grop, which is weird. And he has a it's weird, but it's fun. And then...
Is it?
Did you not like it?
I thought it was the most unnecessary thing in the world.
Okay.
Can you tell me otherwise in the book?
I mean, the part where Hagrid tells them where he's been is a whole chapter of him telling the story. And it's very, very much more developed and has much more, many more connections to the main plot. And then he shows them Grop. And I think we can like Grop for one reason. And that is because he takes care of Umbridge.
That's right. That's right. Until the centaurs shoot him in the hand.
Yeah. And then the centaurs take care of Umbridge.
They're on the same team.
I mean, then the centaurs take her, so that's fine.
Yes.
But then, again, this movie's moving at a breakneck pace here. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the real stuff where... We finally go to the ministry because Harry sees a vision of Sirius being tortured.
Right.
And they go to the Department of Mysteries, and we get probably the best set piece so far in the series.
Mm.
My opinion.
Mm.
So tell me your thoughts on the whole ministry sequence with the prophecy room and then the fight between, well, the whole rest of the movie, really. Just go for it.
Okay, so the first question I have is, what exactly was the thing he was picking up?
That's a prophecy.
Okay, what was the prophecy? I'm sorry, that details kind of went over my head.
Repeat the question, I'm sorry.
What was the prophecy?
Yes, it's explained much better in the book, straight up. But the prophecy essentially means that Voldemort, the prophecy was made before Harry was born. Voldemort knew the prophecy and figured it was about him, and he wanted to remove the one thing that could take him down. So he went to kill Harry as a baby. That's why he did that.
Right.
But since Harry survived, the prophecy takes on a new meaning where it comes down to basically one of them is going to live and one of them is going to die.
Right. Okay.
That sort of dealio.
Was that supposed to be a major plot twist?
The prophecy is much more in depth. I could
go
for a while on it if you want, but.
No. I mean, if you want to, I'm not trying to stop you, but
it basically confirms. Yeah, it basically confirms it's going to come down to Harry and Voldemort.
Right. So,
if Voldemort is the one who actually, due to him trying to kill Harry, he's the one who made it Harry, because the prophecy could have been about a few different people. And Voldemort just went after Harry because he was the son of the Potters, who were a very strong family.
And yes, he figured, and whose father was a jerk.
Yeah, well, yes.
Can we discuss that briefly here?
Yeah, we can. Fun fact, one of the other person the prophecy could have been about, and I'm not kidding, was Neville.
Nice. That makes sense because his parents were
also
a part of that group of super.
Yep, the Order.
Yes, the Order. That's what it's called. I knew that. And were killed by old Bellatrix.
They're not killed. They're not dead.
Oh, okay. They were enchanted?
Tortured to insanity.
That's almost worse.
There's a scene in the book where they go visit, they go to the wizard hospital to visit Mr. Weasley after the snake attack. And they meet Gilderoy Lockhart again, still there recovering his memory. And they meet Neville's parents, who are
not dead.
Not dead, but very much out of it. And it's a big step forward for Neville's character.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I thought they were dead. My bad.
Okay. It's the easiest thing to assume based off the movies. Yeah.
So, and also his father was a jerk.
Yes, James in school was a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Kind of the popular kid. Lily hated him for a while, and then eventually he settled down to a normal human being, and they fell in love.
Wait, are their names really Lily and James?
Yeah, James Potter and Lily Potter eventually. Her maiden name is Evans.
Okay, Lily James, I got it. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yep, I'm good.
Okay.
So he picked on Snape.
Yes, he picked on Snape.
Okay, I'll never forgive James.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is. Deservedly so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna spend too much time on that. We're gonna fast forward again because we get to see the Order of the Phoenix fight the Death Eaters. And it is awesome.
Yes, yes it is. And we finally get to see what's his name? The blonde haired guy, long blonde.
Lucius Malfoy.
That guy. We get to see him finally kind of reveal himself as a Death Eater to people aside from old Harry. And this leads me to another question. What exactly did Voldemort need the prophecy for?
Oh man, you're going to make me look like a fool here.
Sorry, I'm not. I honestly.
No, curious. It's understandable. I'm going to be honest. I don't quite remember.
Oh,
I think, you know what? Let me remedy this. I'm going to see if Google has the answer. It's been a while.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh yeah. I remember. So
that was fast.
This is detailed in the book. Voldemort never hears the prophecy in full. Snape overheard it when it was being spoken, but he didn't hear the whole thing. He passed what he knew on to Voldemort, and Voldemort wants to know the whole thing because he's, you know, back now. I believe it would make sense that Voldemort thinks he missed something since he couldn't kill Harry. So he wants to hear it. And figure that out, I guess.
See, that makes sense, but you can't necessarily say that all in book 5 or in the movie, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could say it in part, but not all of it. Otherwise, it would kind of ruin part of 6, big part of 6. Yeah. No, so then we get the wizard fight. Wizard fights are fun. And then we see the Order of the Phoenix come in and scare everyone off. And it looks like victory until old Bellatrix comes and does something to Sirius Black.
She kills Sirius.
Okay. I didn't want to assume. I thought that's what it was, but after the whole Neville's parents thing, I wasn't quite sure.
Well, you heard Avada Kedavra. That's the death spell.
Abracadabra?
Avada Kedavra.
Oh.
So
it's like the pretentious cousin of Abracadabra.
Kind of is. Yeah, he's dead, and Harry's reaction is heartbreaking.
Man. So Gary Oldman does not come back?
Nope.
Oh, that hurts.
Get ready for a lot more pain.
All right, I'm ready to move on.
Okay. I think Harry's reaction is handled very well. Lupin holding him back, him breaking out of his grasp, chasing down Bellatrix, and straight up trying to torture her with the Crucio spell. That's kind of where his anger, the whole movie, comes to a head.
Right.
And then that transitions into the coolest wizard duel you ever did see, with Voldemort facing Dumbledore. And it's awesome. It's so cool.
Definitely the second greatest wizard fight I've seen.
What's the first?
Nothing beats Gandalf versus Saruman.
Okay. I don't even remember that, so I believe you that it's unfortunate. But it is awesome. Just the way they use each other's attacks against each other, and the transitions, and the big fire snake, and the glass, and the turning it to sand. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the best fight we've seen thus far in the series.
Easily.
Certainly beating out the first two films.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The first two films are child's play compared to the more recent ones.
They really are. And then we get Voldemort trying to possess Harry. And that scene is also pretty heartbreaking. But it's really satisfying to watch Harry fight it off by remembering that he's not alone.
Right. Right, because that's going back to what Luna said. I can't remember exactly, but she was paraphrasing, saying if you were wanting to make someone feel isolated, you would cut them off from all their friends.
Yeah, cut them off from everything they love.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's pretty much what happens throughout the film, and then you kind of come back at the end there, when he starts forming the army.
And then some of the visuals during the possession sequence are wild, which is fun. And then Harry fights him off, Voldemort leaves, and as he is leaving, we get Fudge running in. One of my favorite lines, he's back.
Yep, someone's a little slow on the draw there.
It's so... Finally, everyone gets it. It's satisfying. Movie tapers down from there. And it's just, it's a wild ride. Super entertaining, super fun. Love it. We've spent a while on this one, so we should wrap it up. Final thoughts and rating?
I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5 stars. Very good film. I like the fast pace.
That's interesting to me. Fight.
Why?
Based on how you talked about it, it seemed like you liked it more than 4.
No, because there's a lot going on in 4.
True.
I mean, there was a lot going on in this film as well, but I thought that some of the certain sequences in the Goblet of Fire Championship, whatever it was, were very interesting, and also it had Robert Pattinson, so you can't beat Robert Pattinson.
It's so satisfying to see how your opinion has changed on him.
It's been changed for a while now.
I know, but I'm not going to let it go.
It's been over a year, dude.
So that's Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Great movie. We're going to move right on to Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which is, in contrast to Order of the Phoenix, much more methodical, much slower paced, much more meditative, and much more character-driven.
And a better film.
It's very interesting. It's dived really effectively into backstory and background. We get another new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in Horace Slughorn.
You're wrong. He was the potions teacher. Snape became the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. We get another new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in Snape. And one of my favorite parts, perhaps my favorite part of the movie, we get to see more of Malfoy. And Tom Felton, who plays Malfoy, kills it in this movie. He does an amazing job.
Do you think he's getting tired of bleaching his hair that blonde?
I think he looks fine with it. And then, in addition to diving more into Malfoy, we dive more into Voldemort, and we dive more into Snape.
Right.
So, hit me up.
Speaking of Snape.
Yeah.
Given the name of the film, does that make him half muggle, half human?
Half-blood means you had one wizard parent and one muggle parent.
So, like I said, he's half human.
He's not half human.
He's half muggle.
He's a full wizard. It's just a descendancy thing, like a family tree thing. Hermione's parents are muggles. That doesn't make her a muggle.
All right, I believe you.
I don't see the issue here. He's full wizard.
No, that makes sense. I was just thinking of a more specific term. Okay, no, that's fair. So he has a half-blood. Okay, that makes sense. And then we talk about Voldemort a lot, and we get a lot of backstory into Tom Riddle.
Hey, you remembered his name. Not Tom Thumb.
It should be Tom Thumb, but I'm being told by people around me that it's Tom Riddle.
It is Tom Riddle. It's fun. I love seeing the backstory of where he came from.
Right.
And especially the scenes of him as a teenager with Slughorn. Like, that kid was messed up.
Yeah, he was very dark. He had a very, yeah.
Yeah.
He reminded me of the actor that that was in Chronicle.
Dane DeHaan?
Yes, that's exactly it.
He does give off Dane DeHaan vibes, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, I can see that. I like Dane DeHaan. He's a good actor.
He's dark. Everything I've seen him in, he's just dark.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Yeah.
He's in Valerian in the City of 1,000 Planets. He's supposed to be a good guy in that one, but he's still pretty moody.
Is he? I didn't see it because...
You really don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, getting back to Voldemort here. Yeah, we see the pool thing, the memory pool thing, is a surprisingly convenient tool.
The Pensieve, yeah. But I will say it was introduced earlier.
I know.
So it's not like it's out of left field, but it is a very cool and convenient thing.
No, I wasn't saying that it was convenient in the terms that it was a negative for the purpose of the story. I just thought it was very cool.
Yes, it is cool. I love the visual style of when they fall into it.
It almost feels very dreamlike, everything leading up to that.
Yeah.
Before they even, he sticks his head in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I remember vividly when the trailers for Half-Blood Prince first came out, they always ended the trailer on the very echoey line when boy Tom Riddle says, "I can speak to snakes too." Is that normal for someone like me?
Really?
Yeah. So it was like, oh my gosh, we're learning about Voldemort.
And that's where old Albus should have just shut the door and walked away.
Yep. Yeah. In these last few movies, Dumbledore, books especially, Dumbledore is revealed to be a very flawed character, which adds a lot of depth to him and makes him more interesting than just powerful old grandpa wizard.
Yeah, I certainly think that since we're all flawed, it's great to see some of these pristine characters show a bit of their flaw. That's something that the X-Men franchise did with Charles Xavier. A lot, actually. And it was a recurring theme in the comics, was showing his flaws despite his great intentions and his great wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that being very effective in those movies. I've seen one of them.
Yeah.
A couple of them now. Anyway, the thing about Half-Blood Prince, there is not much action in this movie. It really is a character drama, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's that's different for the movie, because in the book, at the end, when the Death Eaters infiltrate Hogwarts, there's a full-on battle, like teachers versus Death Eaters.
When is this?
At the end of the book, or at the end of the movie. Yeah, when they kill Dumbledore. After that, there's just a full-scale battle between the teachers and the Death Eaters. And they cut that out of the movie, and I think it helps Dumbledore's death breathe a little bit.
Right. So I definitely like this film. There's something I want to talk about regarding Snape, but before we get there, there's a lot of teen angst in this film.
Oh, it's the angstiest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently Harry doesn't know who he likes. He's kind of a player.
What do you think of Harry and Ginny?
I disagree full-heartedly.
Do you?
Yes. Isn't she several years younger? And yet she's taller than him.
That must
be embarrassing.
She's 1 year younger.
Okay. She seemed a lot younger at the onset. But no, that would make sense because she came to Hogwarts in the second film. She just looked a lot younger. No. Okay, that's fair. I still disagree.
As you wish. I think it's cute. It's better in the book as well. She has more development and personality in the book. Wow. But that's not an excuse for the movie. I can't just say, read the book. Though that's you right. should.
I won't.
I know. We get angst. We get Ron and Hermione doing stuff and then not doing stuff. And then we get Ron and Lavender being interesting.
The worst. He's often the worst. I don't see what she sees in him.
Ron gets his first taste of glory.
Yeah. I mean, which must be nice after living in Harry's shadow for 5-6 years.
Yeah, and growing up very poor and the youngest boy in the family.
True. It's true. I will say, I disagree with that relationship as well.
I think most people do.
Okay, good. I thought I was the only one.
You mean Ron and Lavender?
No. Ron and Hermione.
Oh, no, you're stupid. Ron and Hermione's great.
No, I disagree.
I can tell.
Because she cares a lot about him, and he acts like I know he likes her, but he doesn't. He acts like he doesn't give a crap. And Harry is more in tune with what she's going through than Ron is ever. So it's like, I'm frustrated. And I know I'll remain frustrated for the end of the film, and I just got to accept, the end of the series, and I just got to accept that. But it's very hard.
I do believe, I can't guarantee this, but I think I've heard that J.K. Rowling regrets Ron and Hermione.
I'm liking J.K. more and more by the day, that if that's true.
I can't confirm or deny that, to be honest. But anyway. Ron and
Hermione is just a horrible pairing. Just a horrible coupling.
We're going to move on.
Hermione and Harry, they both start with H. It was a match not made by J.K.
Well, what did you think of the love potion scene?
That was kind of funny.
It was
funny. Actually, that was really funny.
Yeah.
Also, why did Ron start going into anaphylactic shock after that?
Because this is explained first.
I know, but I'm asking questions to clarify because I don't think I...
Okay, that's fair. So he had the love potion. Mm-hmm. Harry healed him with the bazaar.
Yeah.
And then to celebrate, Slughorn opened some wine. The wine was poisoned. Ron was the only one. Sorry, I'm out of order. Slughorn throws together the antidote for the love potion. Then mm-hmm. they have some wine to celebrate the freedom or whatever. Ron right. drinks it. The wine is poisoned. Then Harry saves him with a bazaar. The wine was a gift meant for Dumbledore.
Okay. How did what's his name get it?
Slughorn. Well, it was one of Malfoy's schemes, just like the cursed necklace was.
Okay.
He was trying to, through various channels and means, get it to get cursed or poisoned objects to Dumbledore.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I'm catching on.
Good job. What did you think of Malfoy in this movie?
This is kind of where I thought he would go.
Yeah.
On this darker turn, I thought that was very evident from the beginning. What was more subtle, well, actually not really hinted at all in the previous films, but where I thought it may end up is that he seemed in some ways to be a sympathetic character because he seemed like he was unwilling to go through with his order to kill Dumbledore. And I think at the end there, Harry mentions that he had lowered his wand, so he wasn't going to kill Dumbledore.
Yeah. But then Snape kills Dumbledore.
Yep, it's true.
What did you think?
I think Snape is still a good guy. I think it's very clear.
That's fine.
I believe that
100%. What did you think of Snape killing Dumbledore?
I think Dumbledore knew he was going to do it.
Okay. Your reaction when that happened was, oh, okay.
My reaction was, there's definitely a plan in place here.
Okay.
And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. And if I'm wrong, then I'm joining Team Voldemort, apparently.
I'm glad you felt absolutely no hint of sadness for the death of Dumbledore. That's really, really awesome of you.
Great, great job, Forrest. No, I just want to point out two things, the reasons why I think Dumbledore knew. There's this moment where, before they go off to find the last, well, not the last Horcrux, but the last Horcrux they seek in the film, Snape is talking to Dumbledore, and Snape says he doesn't want to do something, and Dumbledore says he has no choice. It's not stated exactly what that is. I'm pretty sure I know what that means. And then after they get back from looking for the Horcrux, what does Albus say? He says, go find Snape, don't trust anyone else, or don't talk to anyone else. Dumbledore is not an idiot, as Lupin pointed out earlier in the film. There's definitely a plan in place, I think. I could be dead wrong, but I'm not.
Very convinced you are.
I am. Now, as for the death of Dumbledore, I am sad. I'm very sad. Unless, of course, he has his own Horcrux, which meant he had to kill someone, which doesn't seem like an Albus thing to do, but you never know. He is a flawed character, after all.
Interesting theories.
Thank you. Yeah. You can find me making conspiracies at conspiracy.net.
That's the weirdest email address I've ever heard.
No, that is a website. Oh, I see. That's why it's weird.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely a very overwhelming sense of sadness that he is dead. And there certainly should be an element of betrayal, considering that it was Snape that killed Dumbledore, even though I think that Dumbledore knew he was going to do it, and it was all pre-planned.
Cool.
That said, it is sad.
It is sad. I love the scene of Harry kind of chasing down Snape.
Mm-hmm.
And his reveal as the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
You dare use my own spells against me.
That's right, you fool. I'm the Half-Blood Prince, or whatever he says.
Yeah, it's less lame than that.
To be fair, I thought that was pretty good, but okay, all right.
Whatever, man. Yeah, it really is a movie of characters. The little action we get. I love the cave sequence.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I like where the camera goes black and white.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great choice there. And then it slowly rephases into color.
It's actually just lighting, my man.
Well, it's great either way.
Yeah, impressive lighting. This fun fact, this movie was nominated for Best Cinematography.
Really?
It was, and I think it deserves that. It looks amazing.
What film won?
I don't remember.
Also, what year is this? I've lost track of the years.
Since 2009.
2009, okay. Okay. I'm very curious to find out who took the real Horcrux.
Yeah. What do you think of Horcruxes, by the way?
They sound horrible.
Yeah, they do sound horrible.
I was waiting for them to show up because it's so odd, the things that I recognize in the series, having not paid attention to it at all, ever, in my lifetime. But the Horcrux thing is something that I was aware of.
Interesting.
And I knew the Dementors from The Office.
Fair enough. So you understand that the diary from movie 2 was a Horcrux?
Yep. I made that connect. I'm very proud of myself. I made that connection before Dumbledore whips it out in his office there.
Nice. Thank you. Of the 7 so far, we have the book, the ring, and the fake locket.
That's right.
So that means in 2 movies, we need 5 more.
Yes. Oh, wait. Yeah, because we still need to find the locket. So he's got 5. Yeah, 7 total.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a specific reason why he chose 7? Why not? He has no qualms about killing people, so why not keep going?
You become less and less human as you keep going. I don't know. 7 is already an insane number. Most people stop at 1. Not most people. Anyone who does it stops at 1.
Is that why Voldemort is disfigured?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that might not be something he'd care about. I don't know. Clearly I'm wrong because he stopped at 7 for a reason, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
It's great. It's very known
internationally as Harry Potter and Snape, which kind of ruined the plot twist at the end, but
it's a very, very different change of pace for the series, and I think it works very well before diving into the finales.
I agree.
So, final thoughts and rating?
Going to give this one a 3.5 stars.
Very nice. Fun.
Enjoyed it a lot.
My goal is for number 8 to be 4 stars. That's all I want in life.
I've noticed that it's very hard for films to break that 4-star threshold for me.
That's totally understandable and fine. I'm not upset at your ratings. You've clearly at least enjoyed all of them.
Yes. The 2nd one, the least, so.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's true of me as well.
Yeah. And you've got these all at 5 stars, correct?
Yeah, I have to.
That's fair. And yet you have the audacity to knock The Phantom Menace down 0.5 star.
Well, yeah. It's at 3 stars now. It's good.
Just tell me why.
Because it's not very good.
That is a lie.
It's a mediocre story,
nope.
Plot-wise, with some questionable characters and acting, supported by like 3 or 4 amazing sequences. And nostalgia. A lot of it is nostalgia.
I disagree.
I know you do.
I think trade negotiations and trade embargoes are awesome.
I'm sure that's your favorite part of all of Star Wars.
I happen to like the politics of the prequels.
I know. I don't hate them, but
they're awesome.
Kind of convoluted and weird that plus the prequel series to Star Wars is about that. Qui-Gon's great.
Well, I mean, in the original trilogy, we have this galactic-wide empire. It would make sense that in some capacity there would be a lot of political game involved in the lead up to a galactic empire. You don't just get there overnight.
Oh, I know. But it didn't have to be politics about trade negotiations.
Trade negotiations are fun.
And we'll leave it at that. Moving on to the second segment, I've got another quiz. This is about movies 5 and 6. We've covered some of them, so hopefully you get those right.
I'm going to nail it.
I'm sure you will. We've got 10 questions for each movie, and let's do it.
And all I got to do is beat 44%.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep track, by the way.
Darn it. Okay.
Who directed movies 5 and 6?
David Yates.
Correct.
Sweet.
Bonus question. Who directed movies 7 and 8? This doesn't count toward your score.
I don't know.
David Yates.
Okay. I was going to say David Yates, but the fact you're asking me the question made me think otherwise.
Okay, so question 2. Who does Harry, why does Harry need to go to the hearing?
Because he used that spell to ward off the Dementors while protecting himself and his cousin when he was back home.
Correct. Number 3. What is Dumbledore's full name?
Albus Dumbledore?
No. It is Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore.
Okay, well, you didn't specify. Okay, you did say full name, so I'm not going to argue.
I said full name. Would you have known that?
No, that's why I said Albus Dumbledore. I knew there was more. I was just hoping I could get by on Albus.
Yeah. So that's your first incorrect one. Number 4. Where did Hagrid go?
He went to try to convince the giants to help them fight the Death Eaters? Or right. Voldemort?
Yes. Well done. You paid attention to this one and didn't fall asleep halfway through like you did with the second.
It was late.
Number 5. What is the Order of the Phoenix? And name 3 members.
Okay. Snape, Sirius Black, Lupin. Those are my 3 members, and it's a secret order dedicated to fighting Voldemort, basically.
Yeah, correct. Where is the Order's headquarters? And if possible, I would like the specific name of the place.
I don't know the specific name of the place, but it is the childhood home of Sirius Black.
Okay. I'll give you half credit.
Okay. That, I mean...
It is number 12 Grimald Place.
Man, you give me 2-part questions.
Okay, next question. How's it going? How are you doing? You've only gotten 1 or 2 wrong.
I've only gotten 1.5 wrong.
Very nice. Very nice. Next, who gets attacked by the snake? Yes.
Oh, right. Ron's father.
Yes, that is one way to say it. Mr. Weasley also works.
Sweet. I couldn't remember a snake in the film.
Okay. What does Harry continually dream of throughout the movie?
He dreams of Sirius being tortured by Voldemort, and he also dreams of Ron's father being attacked. Is there another dream that I'm forgetting?
I was looking more for the motif. It's always about the door.
Ah, yeah. It's always about the door.
I'd give you half credit for that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Here you go. Here you go. You can get this one. How does Voldemort lure Harry to the Department of Mysteries?
By sending him a vision of Sirius Black being tortured. Department of Mysteries.
There you go. And let's see if you were paying attention to our discussion. What, in essence, does the prophecy say?
The prophecy says that essentially the prophecy says that Voldemort and someone who's going to rise up against him, only one of them will survive. And Voldemort essentially made Harry the chosen one by attacking him. It could have been anyone, including Neville. Yeah. Or a number, not anyone, but a number. There are a different number of people. It could have been
Neville. Imagine Neville Longbottom in the Order of the Phoenix.
Yes, that it doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Not quite. Okay, well done. I'm impressed, honestly.
Thank you. I've only gotten two wrong so far.
Well done. This is good. Thanks. You actually watched the movies and listened to the dialogue.
Something like that.
Movie 6, moving on here.
Sweet.
Who is the new potions teacher?
Foghorn Slughorn.
What's his first name? I know I didn't ask for it. I'll give you half credit for Foghorn Slughorn since one of those was right.
Thank you. Gary. Gary Slughorn.
The correct answer is Horace Slughorn.
Oh, I was actually not that far off. It's a normal name.
I know.
If I just went a letter further in the alphabet.
Yeah, yeah. Why is Harry suddenly so good in potions class?
Because he has Snape's old book.
Expand on that.
It's the Half-Blood Prince's old book, and it has a bunch of notes in it telling him the proper ingredients for a certain potion.
There you go. That's what I wanted.
Also, Hermione's pissed.
Yeah. I love that scene where she's just getting frustrated and he's just cruising.
Her hair is very reminiscent of movie one.
Yes. What large creature's funeral does Harry attend?
It's a giant spider. Which? And it is Hagrid's best friend that he raised since he was just an egg.
Do you remember his name by any chance?
No, but you didn't ask me that.
I know. I was just wondering. His name is Aragog.
Aragog, that's right.
The luck potion scene is hilarious.
Yes. Harry should be on luck potion all the time.
Okay. Who is Harry and Dumbledore studying in their private lessons?
Harry and Dumbledore are studying someone?
Yes.
It's either Horace Slughorn or Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle.
Okay. That's fair.
How did Dumbledore's hand get cursed?
His hand got cursed by trying to find one of the Horcruxes. Horcrux eye?
Horcruxes. Sort of. Can you be a little more specific?
Yes, he had to break one of the enchantments to get one of the Horcrux eye.
I'll give it to you.
Sweet.
He tried to destroy the ring, and it backfired.
One ring to rule them all.
I'm being too nice this morning.
I thought I gave a pretty good answer.
That's why I gave it to you.
Thank you.
Still being too nice. What is a Horcrux?
You're a pleasant fellow. Okay. A Horcrux is a device that someone can put half of their soul in, or a part of their soul. I guess it gets further divided when you do it multiple times, but it's like half your soul if you do it once. And it basically saves you from death, because if you die, you'll still remain in the Horcrux. An example of this is Tom Riddle's book from book 2, and I think you need to kill someone to do it.
Yes, that was the last detail I wanted. You need to kill someone for each Horcrux.
That's right.
What do they find in the cave?
A fake Horcrux. It's a locket. They assume that is one of the third of Voldemort's Horcruxes. And he has to drink a bunch of potion, enchanted potion, to get to it. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that the locket was a fake because someone else showed up before them and got the locket.
Which is a big oof.
Yes.
Who lets the Death Eaters into the castle, and how does he or she do it?
It is Malfoy, and through the chest.
The chest?
The chest, the transporting chest.
Sure, take it. It's the vanishing cabinet.
I wasn't that far off. I was just using synonyms.
Fair enough. Who is supposed to kill Dumbledore and who actually does it? If you get this wrong, I will be very disappointed.
Old Malfoy, Draco, was supposed to kill him, and that was what Voldemort ordered him to do, mm-hmm. and he didn't do it. And because Snape made that pact with Malfoy's mother, he killed Albus for him. The also, I'm pretty sure, the unbreakable
vow.
And vow.
Unbreakable thumb.
Tom Thumb.
And last question, you're flying through this one. Again, if you get this one wrong, I would question your sanity. Who is the Half-Blood Prince?
Old Snape.
Old Snape indeed.
The greatest character.
He is amazing.
Also, he is in the deepest cover imaginable right now. It's incredible.
So you think.
So I know.
So you think.
Oh, I know.
How awesome is Alan Rickman in that role, man?
Alan Rickman is the best. Makes me want to go back and watch Galaxy Quest.
It doesn't make you want to go back and watch Die Hard?
Crap, I forgot. No, not at all. I had blocked that film out of my mind, to be honest with you.
That's your problem.
No, it's not.
I honestly think Alan Rickman should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his work in movie 8.
Okay. That makes me think that he... I'm definitely right.
I don't know how you get that. Villains.
Supporting actors are not villains.
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger wasn't a supporting actor.
He won Best Supporting Actor. He has 20 minutes of screen time in like a 3-hour movie.
Okay, well, that's just nonsense. He was definitely the main character of that film. That's why it was called The Dark Knight. Isn't he obvious? No. I'm just... Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Also, didn't Sam Rockwell win Best Supporting Actor for his work in Three Billboards, where he is certainly not a good guy?
I don't think he won. I know he was nominated. He's been nominated 3 years in a row.
He's amazing.
He is awesome. What movie did... He's doing a movie. What movie was he in? Or coming up that I saw?
He was in... Billboards.
Billboards, yeah.
Let me see. I'm Googling it. Jojo Rabbit, he was in.
Yeah. I think it's an upcoming film. I was like, oh yeah, it's Sam Rockwell.
Hold on. I'm looking at IMDb. He is... the voice of Ivan in The One and Only Ivan.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's what I was thinking.
Wait, really?
I thought it was something better, but nope. Disappointed with myself on that one.
He's going to be in a movie called The Adventures of Drunky. Oh.
He's good at being drunk.
You're not wrong. Okay. Yeah.
So we haven't done the math to see what my percentage is here.
You have kept track. I'm guessing it'll be like mid 80s.
Okay.
The math shouldn't be hard. Each question is 5%. Half is 2.5%.
I know. Just give me a second. You ready?
Yes.
It is. I got an 87.5.
Nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. I'm
feeling pretty proud of myself right now.
Yeah. So I feel like you've liked the recent movies a lot more.
They're definitely better. Yeah.
Cool. Makes me happy to hear that. We are going to close. Well, we'll explain the upcoming schedule. Like we said, Forrest is going away.
That's right.
Far away, where we can't find him.
Yes.
That's a Harry Potter reference for all of those out there who know that.
I thought it was the pina coladas. I mean, I thought it was definitely a Rupert Holmes reference, but I was wrong.
You were wrong. So next week, I'll be solo. Or maybe I'll have a guest.
For the first time.
Yeah, oh, maybe well, I'll bring
still
a guest.
Be the first time.
Who knows? We'll see. Haven't made plans yet, but I will be talking about Speed Racer at some point.
Wow.
It's very important to me.
Wow.
So I'll do that. And then the week after that, once again, Forrest is gone.
That's right.
So it's 2 weeks in a row of just me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're going to do. So just be ready for something.
It's going to be fun. You've never had a...
I will.
It'll be the first time I'm not on the podcast.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah. Because you suck.
Actually, I think it means I'm consistent.
Well, not anymore.
That's true.
I will say, mm-hmm. It will be two mini episodes.
Yes.
And then when Forrest comes back 3 weeks from now, we will do Harry Potter 7 and 8.
Yes,
and close that out. So that is very exciting. Yes.
And then after that, we've got a great movie we're going to watch.
We do. I'm excited for it. It's probably going to take me multiple nights.
It's a long movie.
I would be fine watching it in one go. Can we tell them?
Yeah, tell them.
We're talking about The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. That's what we're doing after Harry Potter. It's very long. Normally I could do that in one sitting, but I don't have much time to watch a 3+ hour movie anymore.
Exactly. It is. Yeah, 3 hours, 58 minutes.
So it's almost 4 hours.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it. We're just doing it alone.
Yeah. Wowza. Okay. I'm going to need 2 weeks to watch that thing.
It's directed by Sergio Leone.
Uh-huh.
Score composed by Ennio Morricone. Starring Clint Eastwood. Eli Wallach. Uh-huh. Lee Van Cleef.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
Is it better than Unforgiven?
I give Unforgiven a slight edge just because it's more concise.
Okay.
Oh, it's a cat.
That's Joey.
Joey, I like it. Joey.
Yeah. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. A little off track at the end. Joey says hi. And any final thoughts, words, things?
No, I'm good. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed these two films.
I am glad. Okay, we'll see you guys later. I've been Elijah. He has been Forrest. You all have been beautiful. This has been We Watch Movies. See you next time.